And good afternoon. You're listening now to Illinois Public Radio's coverage of Governor Pat Quinn's State of the State Address live from the Illinois State Capitol. Governor Quinn will be speaking to a joint session of the Illinois House and Senate from the House Chambers. Good afternoon. I'm Sean Crawford. Amanda Vinicky is with Illinois Public Radio's State House Bureau, and she joins me now. Amanda, what do we expect to hear from Governor Quinn today?
What we expect to hear from Governor Pat Quinn today, and actually I've been just going through an advanced copy of his speech. It's titled Moving Illinois Forward, and it does appear to include a couple of initiatives, one or two that would give tax breaks, including a tax break for parents. And it appears as if that would be, however, kind of minimal. From what I can gather from the speech, it says $100 of direct tax relief every year to a typical family of four. So given the tax hike that's been in place now for over a year, not really that big of a break. Also, a natural gas utility tax appears to be included. And then a lot of looking back at previous accomplishments. Quinn seems to go over education legislation that passed and is now just taking effect, and also workers' compensation changes and other overhauls that have been on the agenda. So moving Illinois forward, but a lot of looking back.
Well, this is not a budget address, so it's possible we're going to hear some ideas, but less about how to pay for them, I assume. And maybe that is what this speech will all be about today. The numbers and the number crunching on this will come sometime later in the month.
Exactly. The budget address is really going to be the key speech. Governor Quinn has, some would say, lacked a vision. So this State of the State speech is maybe an opportunity for him to grab onto something that can really take root and he can call his own initiative. Obviously, that's tough to do given Illinois' financial problems, which, as you said, Sean, we'll hear more about later this month in his budget address. It appears as if he's going to make some sort of comment. We had heard an expectation that he would touch on something that would cut back Illinois' pension costs. Those, of course, the unfunded pension liability really weighing down the state's finances. And he appears to say in his in this speech that something has to be done to address it, but we'll look to the budget speech for more on Illinois, what Illinois will do or what he thinks should be done to contain pension costs, also rising Medicaid costs.
The governor is making his way into the House chamber. He's being greeted by different dignitaries as he walks in, and we'll be going to him in just a moment. He'll be taking the podium. But, Amanda, before we let you go, the governor stands before lawmakers a year after being elected to a full term. He still seems, though, to lack political muscle at times to get his plans through the legislature. So what he says today, how likely is some of this going to be that it does take shape and becomes official?
Not so good if you look back at his past record. He has actually come forward and introduced a lot, but not really had much success in things, be it school consolidation, borrowing, which he continually says Illinois needs to do to pay off its backlog of bills right away, and legislators just don't seem to agree with him, especially Republicans whose support he would need for that. So his track record, not so good. That said, I think that Governor Quinn may have started to get that message.
Well, President Cullerton and Speaker Madigan, Leaders Redonio and Cross, Attorney General Madigan, Secretary White, Comptroller Topinka, Treasurer Rutherford, members of our General Assembly, our distinguished guests, and fellow citizens of Illinois, I'm here today to report to you on the state of our state. But before I begin, I know I speak for all of Illinois in wishing our Senator, Mark Kirk, a speedy recovery. We're all pulling for you, Mark. You have volunteered to protect our democracy. We're here today because of everything that our service members have done for us. We're especially proud of our service members in the Illinois National Guard. In the early morning, last December 18th, a convoy of the Illinois National Guard's 16th 44 Transportation Company, led by their commander, Captain Michael Barton, crossed the desert of southern Iraq into Kuwait. Their unit had made 73 dangerous convoy trips between Kuwait and Iraq. They drove nearly 4 million miles. Their convoy was one of the very last to leave Iraq. The war was over. And today, Captain Barton's wife, Kelly, and their daughter, Miley, are with us. And on behalf of a grateful nation and a grateful state, thank you, Kelly. Thank you, Miley. Thank you, Captain Barton. And thank you, service members of the Illinois National Guard. You're our heroes. I'm very proud to be the Commander-in-Chief of the Illinois National Guard, and I'm proud to be Governor of our state, Illinois. It was almost exactly 3 years ago to this very day that I took the oath of office at this podium during one of the darkest moments in Illinois history. One former governor was in jail. Another was under arrest, impeached, and removed from office. Both my predecessors had disgraced themselves and brought profound embarrassment to the people of our state. And at the same time, our nation was in the throes of a massive economic crisis caused by disgraceful conduct and greed on Wall Street. Our large and small businesses in Illinois were reeling. Our automakers were in dire straits. And across Illinois, families were losing their jobs, losing their homes, and watching their savings disappear. We were off course and adrift, lacking leadership, and weighed down by a culture of corruption. On the day I became governor 3 years ago, I promised to restore integrity to Illinois government, and we have, through tough new ethics laws, campaign finance reform, and establishing the ability to recall a corrupt governor, we have made Illinois a more ethical state. But we didn't stop there. By legalizing civil unions, by raising the standard of care in nursing homes, by abolishing the death penalty, and by protecting the funerals of our military men and women who gave their last full measure of devotion to our democracy, we have made Illinois a better state. And all the while, we've never forgotten that we have to help everyday people by building and growing Illinois. We've invested in our state, making it a better place to do business. And we've invested in the people of Illinois, helping our working families and improving education. The results are in. From major export growth and the largest public works construction program in state history to solid gains in education, we're back on course and Illinois is moving forward. We all know that the economic storm is far from over. While we have downsized Illinois state government more than ever before, we continue to face very difficult decisions to restore financial stability to our state. Suffice it to say, we must have Medicaid reform and public pension reform in the coming year. We must have. We took the first step in 2010 on public pension reform when we enacted landmark changes that will save taxpayers billions of dollars. But there's much more to do. Fixing the pension problem will not be easy, but we have no choice. We must do it together in a way that's meaningful, constitutional, and fair to the employees who have faithfully contributed to the system. That's why I've assembled a pension working group to propose a solution that can be enacted this year. I'll have more to say about these serious matters during my budget address 3 weeks from today. But we must always remember that strong economic growth is essential to resolving our financial challenges. Cuts alone will not get us to a better budget. We must build and grow our Illinois economy like never before to keep Illinois moving forward. In the past 3 years, we've worked together to strengthen our economy and make Illinois a better place to do business. We've reformed our workers' compensation system. The reforms we put in place will protect the safety of our workers and save Illinois businesses at least $500 million every year. We've also reformed our unemployment insurance system. We've preserved benefits for unemployed workers while saving businesses $400 million. We've cut red tape for employers that need environmental permits. And we've worked with our union partners to overhaul workplace rules at McCormick Place to lower the cost of conventions. Already new conventions are picking Illinois and putting our people to work. And each of these landmark reforms shows the power of bringing everyone to the table to repair broken systems. That's moving forward. But we've just begun. We've not just made Illinois a better place to do business. We've also invested in our public works, our highways, our bridges, our railroads, our schools to make Illinois stronger. We've created good paying jobs while laying the foundation for future growth. Thanks to our Illinois Jobs Now plan, Illinois has the largest capital construction program in our history. And over the past 3 years, we've been building, repairing, and modernizing. Every day, you see the fruits of our labor all across Illinois. We've improved 5,948 miles of highways and 842 bridges. In southern Illinois, we're building new lanes on Route 13. In Rockford, we're building a new Morgan Street Bridge. And in East Peoria, we're building Technology Boulevard. We've also built and renovated more than 400 schools, from Western Illinois University's new riverfront campus in Moline to the new Transportation Education Center at SIU in Carbondale, from the repurposed Cole Hall at Northern Illinois University in DeKalb, to the new electrical and computer engineering building at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. We've invested in more than 40 public transportation projects. We're working with Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel to rebuild the CTA's Red Line. We're working with Rockford Mayor Larry Morrissey to build new passenger rail from Chicago to Rockford. We're working with elected officials in the south suburbs and in Will County to build a new airport. And we're building high-speed rail from Chicago to St. Louis and a new bridge across the Mississippi River. All of these projects and many, many more have created thousands of jobs. I want to say thank you to the men and women of Illinois who are doing this hard work. Here in Illinois, unlike other states in the Midwest, we believe in the right of working people to organize. The hard work of our men and women is why Illinois is moving forward. And speaking of hard work, I would like to salute our Secretary of State, Jesse White. For the first time in history, we kept fatalities on the Illinois highways below 1,000 for three consecutive years. Thank you, Secretary White. There's a passage in Scripture, if you save one life, you save the whole world. And I want to thank Secretary White for his commitment to highway safety and to saving lives. We all know that automobiles are essential to life in Illinois and to the success of our economy. Our automakers and their suppliers are thriving today because state government rose to the occasion and helped meet their needs. 3 years ago, the Ford plant on the south side of Chicago had one shift. In 2010, Ford added a second shift. And now they have started to hire for a third shift. Thank you, Ford. Tomorrow, I'm traveling to the Chrysler plant in Belvedere to announce the creation of hundreds of new jobs to manufacture the new 21st century Dodge Dart. Thank you, Chrysler. The reason that Ford and Chrysler are creating new jobs right here is because of our skilled workforce. Illinois is not only the land of skilled workers, it's also the land of creative entrepreneurs, people like Carrie Gibson and her company, Vintage Tech Recyclers in Romeoville. Our investment helped Carrie grow her recycling technology business from one person to 77 employees. Thank you, Carrie Gibson. Illinois is also a land of technology. We're in the process of laying 4,100 miles of new broadband fiber optic cable to light up 5,000 of our schools, our libraries, our businesses, and our hospitals with a world-class information network. We started Illinois' first venture fund to encourage investors to jump in to these cutting-edge technologies. We've renewed our research and development tax credit, which helps businesses bring new ideas to market. And our Innovation Council launched an open data initiative, which has made more than 5,200 Illinois data sets available online. We're going to lead the nation in putting more public data online in one place from communities and universities all across our state. Already, young innovators like Toure McCluskey and Elizabeth Park have designed smartphone apps using our data to help everyday people. And both of them are here today. I want to thank Toure and thank you, Elizabeth, for your innovation and your creativity. Please stand up. We're going to continue to think big in Illinois. Today I'm announcing a $2.3 million investment in 1871. That's a new technology center at the Merchandise Mart in Chicago to foster and launch digital startups. Today I'm also announcing a $6 million statewide competition to build ultra high-speed broadband in neighborhoods all across Illinois. Through this challenge, we want our neighborhoods to become gigabit communities with internet connections more than 100 times faster than today. Our goal is to build smart communities that will foster the job engines of the future. Illinois is already a leader in green technology. We lead the nation in operating wind turbines with 404, and we're still growing. We believe in wind. We're also working with Argonne National Laboratory, the University of Illinois, the University of Chicago, and Northwestern University to develop the next generation of energy-efficient batteries. And even as we foster innovation in the industries of the future, we've also increased export opportunities for Illinois businesses to move their goods into new global markets. The Illinois economy is the 18th largest in the world, and our state has tremendous potential to grow a whole lot more. And we've aggressively pursued export opportunities from our mighty agriculture to our mighty manufacturing. A quarter of our soybean crop is sold to just one country, China. Illinois farmers are feeding China's new middle class. Thank you, agriculture, and thank you, Illinois farmers. Our manufacturers, like John Deere in the Quad Cities and Caterpillar in Peoria, had outstanding years last year. Caterpillar's increase in sales and revenue last year was record-breaking, the largest percentage increase in the last 64 years. And a lot of it was driven by foreign demand for Caterpillar products made by Illinois workers. Well, we want to thank Caterpillar and thank those workers. Thank you. More exports to more foreign markets means more jobs for more Illinois workers. Our exports have jumped 30% this year, almost double the national average. And today, to strengthen that growth, we're announcing an Export Advisory Council made up of private sector leaders and chaired by Navistar CEO Dan Oosted. This council will help us reach our goal of doubling our exports by 2014. Navistar has recently added more than 500 new jobs, and it employed more than 2,000 union construction workers to renovate its new corporate headquarters in Lyle, Illinois. And since 2010, employers like Navistar have helped add almost 100,000 jobs to our economy. Illinois businesses have created almost 20,000 manufacturing jobs during this time. U.S. News and World Report placed Illinois in the top five business-friendly states that are gaining business. That's good. Career Builder has ranked Illinois as one of the top 10 states to find a job. And last year, Money Magazine rated Illinois as the top state for making a living. Now, that's moving forward. That's good. We want to keep that going. And definitely, in this age of big bureaucracy and big corporations and big money, we can't overlook the millions of Illinois consumers who need advocates to look out for them. And I want to thank Attorney General Lisa Madigan for joining me in our never-ending battle to protect Illinois consumers. Thank you, Lisa. I think we all believe in fighting for the moms and dads and children of Illinois. And that's why for the first time in a decade, we significantly increased tax relief for working families. Thank you, Barbara Flynn Curry. Thank you, Representative John Bradley. Thank you, David Harris. And thank you, Senator Toy Hutchinson. You helped get the job done with your colleagues. By doubling the value of the Illinois Earned Income Tax Credit and improving the personal exemption, we are providing targeted tax relief to 1 million working families and their children. People like Rhonda Jones. Rhonda is a single mom who is raising 5 children on the south side of Chicago. She works as a public high school counselor for a modest salary. She knows what it's like to live from paycheck to paycheck. Year after year, the federal and state earned income tax credit has been her saving grace. She uses that extra money to help pay bills and support her kids through school. 3 of her children are now in college, and 2 more are on the way. Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you for being a great person. From the moment I took office, my goal has been to advance education for everyone. That's why we passed landmark education laws that are a model for the entire nation. Laws that improve school report cards so that parents have more information about the schools that educate their kids. Laws that set clear benchmarks for teacher evaluation and put performance above tenure. And laws that lay the groundwork for a longer school day and a longer school year. Our education reforms put the children of Illinois first. That's moving forward. And I want to thank Senator Kim Lightford and Representative Linda Chapalavia and many, many more who helped lead this effort. We also took a big step forward by passing the Illinois Dream Act to help high school graduates from immigrant families. In the years to come, more kids will go to college. More kids will chase their dreams. More kids will grow up to be Illinois residents who work hard and contribute to society because of the Dream Act. I think it's very important that we understand that we all have a stake in the future of Illinois. Indeed, we are custodians of that future, and we owe it to the next generation to continue our progress of the past 3 years. To create jobs and grow our economy, we must continue to invest in Illinois and help everyday people. And with this in mind, I'm proposing the Illinois Jobs Agenda for 2012 so that we can build and grow our economy today and tomorrow. The Illinois Jobs Agenda includes 3 targeted tax cuts that will help build and grow our economy by helping our employers and helping our working families and helping our veterans. First, I propose that we permanently abolish the natural gas utility tax in Illinois. This is a tax that's unfair. It's regressive. It's not based on the ability to pay. And regardless of income, or whether or not you're making a profit, you pay this tax. By abolishing it altogether, we can provide targeted tax relief to both consumers and businesses. The elimination of this tax will save money for our households and cut costs for our employers all across Illinois. Illinois will be the only state in the Midwest without a natural gas utility tax on manufacturers, on retailers, and on everyday families. In addition, we need to establish a child tax credit in Illinois for parents raising children. There's no more important mission in life than raising a child. Investing in our families is good for Illinois, and the Illinois Child Tax Credit will provide $100 of direct tax relief every year to the typical family of 4. This targeted tax relief will stimulate consumer demand, which is 70% of our economy, and it will create jobs for our local merchants. And finally, we must adopt a tax credit that helps our veterans find employment. Unemployment for young returning veterans in our country is 30%. That's shameful. Our military men and women are heroes who have served our country, and they deserve our everlasting gratitude. Veterans are committed, disciplined, and experienced. They know leadership and how to accomplish a mission. We need these heroes in our workplaces. So today I'm proposing a hiring veterans tax credit. We will provide a significant tax credit for every unemployed veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan that a company hires. This tax credit will help businesses create jobs, and it will give those jobs to veterans who have sacrificed so much in serving our state and serving our country. The Illinois Jobs Agenda will also move our state forward by investing in education. The best economic tool a state can have is a strong, innovative education system. Jobs follow brain power. And so I want to thank our Lieutenant Governor, Sheila Simon, for doing an outstanding job on her community colleges report. She visited all of Illinois' 48 community colleges. She has proposed many, many good reforms that need to be implemented this year. And Sheila and I have a mission. By 2025, we want at least 60% of adults in our state to have a college degree, an associate degree, or a career certificate. Right now, We're at 43%. That's better than the national average, but it's not good enough. If we want 60% of Illinois adults to have a meaningful career certificate or a degree by 2025, we must invest in our students from birth to higher ed. And that starts with investing more dollars in early childhood education. Learning begins at birth, and those first years of a child's life are the most important. Our youngest and our most vulnerable citizens need our strongest support. Research has shown that without an early childhood learning foundation, children fall behind in school. Illinois, we can't leave our youngest behind. And that's why I'm calling for a major investment in early childhood education this year. We've got to do it. Last week, our president, President Obama, called for states to raise the minimum attendance age of students in school to 18. President Obama, we hear you in Illinois. We know how important it is to do everything possible to keep our kids in school to earn that diploma. And that's why we must answer the president's call. We must raise the minimum school attendance age to 18. And we must work together this session to do it. We can do it. Now, at a time when student loan debt in our country is more than credit card debt, too many deserving students don't have access to higher education. And while nearly 150,000 Illinois students received state MAP scholarships last year to attend college, just as many qualified applicants were denied because of lack of funding. So today I ask the members of the General Assembly to invest in our students. I urge you to act in the coming year to make a significant investment in more state MAP scholarships to help our bright young students attend college. We cannot leave our high school graduates unprepared to compete for the jobs of the future. And our students won't be prepared for college or 21st century jobs if we don't educate them in 21st century school buildings. So I call today for a major investment in our classrooms. This investment will create jobs now and upgrade our classrooms with modern labs, smart technology, digital books, high-speed internet access, and 21st century efficiency. These investments in our students will keep Illinois moving forward. The Illinois jobs agenda for this year includes a commitment to affordable housing, which is vital to our economic recovery. While we've helped thousands of families stay in their homes and find affordable housing, we must do more. So today we're launching the Illinois Foreclosure Prevention Network to connect struggling homeowners with every resource available, from counseling to legal assistance to mortgage relief. In the coming week, I'll join with Cook County Board President Tony Preckwinkle to announce a major housing initiative that will help return vacant properties to good use. That will move us forward. Finally, we have to move forward on clean water. Clean water is the lifeblood of our people and our communities. Illinois is blessed with abundant water from Lake Michigan to the Illinois River to the mighty Mississippi. But many Illinois residents are living with aging water mains that are nearly 100 years old. And scores of wastewater treatment facilities are in dire need of repair. The Illinois Jobs Agenda for 2012 will put thousands of people to work, replacing broken water mains, building treatment plants, upgrading sewers, and cleaning up environmental threats. We're going to be working with mayors from Chicago and the suburbs to every part of downstate. We're going to invest in our clean water initiative. We believe in clean water. It's very important that we understand that we work together for something as important as clean water. Now, members of the General Assembly, the Illinois Jobs Agenda is a comprehensive jobs initiative for the people of our state. To create jobs and grow the economy, we must enact targeted tax relief for Illinois employers, for Illinois families, and for our veterans. We must invest in college scholarships and early childhood education and 21st century schools. We must invest in affordable housing for our residents and clean water for our communities. And I look forward to working with you to find the proper funding to meet these urgent needs. By investing in Illinois and investing in our people, we are building and growing our economy. We are moving Illinois forward. Now, I know that no reform is easy. Reforming our Medicaid and reforming our public pension systems will require political courage. By the same token, no major investment is easy. Moving forward on the vision that I've laid out today will require true partnership. We have real challenges to tackle. And like all of you, I recognize the severity of our financial situation. But cuts alone will not resolve the situation. We must build and grow our economy. Now is not the time to pull back, to abandon our children, to abandon our parents, and to abandon the unemployed among us. Their well-being is our common cause. And our commitment to them requires that we join as partners to invest in our state and invest in our people. I'm proud of what we've accomplished together over these last 3 years. Abraham Lincoln once said, "I like to see a man proud of the place in which he lives." Abraham Lincoln said, "I like to see a man live so that his place will be proud of him." So after 3 years of hard work and tough decisions, Illinois is back on course. Illinois is moving forward. And Illinois is a place that we can be proud to claim as our own. I look forward to working with you in the coming year to make the people of Illinois even prouder of our state. Together, we can make the will of people the law of the land. Thank you very much.
Illinois Governor Pat Quinn offering up a variety of ideas in his State of the State address at the Illinois State Capitol today, speaking to a joint session of the Illinois House and Senate. Not many details yet on how to pay for some of the things that the governor talked about, including more investments in education and higher education. He also said he wants to drop the natural gas utility tax, give families a child tax credit, and create another tax credit for hiring veterans. The governor will deliver his budget address on February 22nd, and more details are expected at that time. Quinn did take the time today to tout accomplishments during his time in office, including passing a capital construction program, and he was quick to point out businesses like Caterpillar, Ford, and Chrysler are reporting better earnings, more investment in broadband technology, wind power, and high-speed rail all on his agenda. He says Illinois is back on course and moving forward. The spring legislative session is scheduled to run until the end of May. We'll find out how lawmakers feel about the governor's ideas as the months go on. I'm Sean Crawford, and this is IPR, Illinois Public Radio. And now I'm going to bring in Chris Mooney, political studies professor at the University of Illinois Springfield, and Charlie Wheeler, director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at UIS. Both of you got a chance to listen to what the governor had to say. And Chris, I'll start with you, your thoughts.
Well, one thing that really struck me just stylistically is this is probably the best State of the State speech that this governor has ever given. And not saying that much, because some of the previous ones have been, you know, pretty much all over the place, but he was clear, he was relatively focused, he had obviously practiced this one. In fact, he was in such a rush to get through it, I think he jumped on a bunch of applause lines. Not that there was a lot of applause, you know, it was relatively general, a very cheerleading kind of a thing. He thanked a lot of people. I did notice that of all the politicians that he thanked, there was only one Republican in the bunch, and that was Representative David Harris for his work on the earned income tax credit.
And, Charlie, before I go to you, I'm going to go to the phones really quick because we have a Republican State Senator Kirk Dillard joining us from the Capitol. He just got to hear the speech as well. And, Senator Dillard, thanks for calling in. Let me get the Republican take on what the governor had to say today.
Well, thanks, Sean. And I do agree that, you know, and maybe the bar is low, but this was Governor Quinn's best state of the state in terms of delivery. And, you know, I appreciate the governor focusing on job creation, although I would submit the best way to create jobs in the state of Illinois is to repeal that 67% income tax increase they thrust on the people the last day of the last legislative session. So if you really want to help working families, you shouldn't have taken a week's pay. That's how much that income tax increase was. It's a week's pay for all of us who live here in the state of Illinois.
Well, let me ask you on that, because that the Republican Party has made that an issue over the last few months, yet we see a report that comes out just this week talking about unpaid bills. They could balloon, quadruple in just a matter of just a few years. The state's still struggling, even with that tax increase, to pay its bills. How is it possible to get rid of that extra revenue coming in from the tax increase and keep the state afloat financially?
Well, I urge everybody to go to a website called IllinoisRealityCheck.com. IllinoisRealityCheck.com. Sean, you got to stop spending. I mean, the governor and the Democrats like to say that last year's state budget was balanced, but it wasn't balanced. All they did was push $1 billion or so dollars of Medicaid bills over into the next year. I mean, my checking account may look flush, but if I've got a Visa bill to choke a horse in the next fiscal year run up, then it's not a balanced budget in the Dillard household. You need to cut $4 to $6 billion of the state budget. You need massive Medicaid reform. Regardless of what the Democrats say, they're still spending billions more than they did the previous year, and you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and make some serious cuts in the state budget, or as the Civic Federation pointed out, we're going to have a gigantic cliff. And it's not that we didn't see this coming. The Senate Republican Caucus, I think you were at the press conference that we had where we unrolled this IllinoisRealityCheck.com. We told you there's going to be a gigantic cliff unless we cut $4 to $7 billion fast.
Charlie Wheeler, I'm going to bring you in here momentarily. I didn't get it. And Senator Dillard, hold on with us just a moment. But Charlie, your thoughts on the speech and also what the senator had to say.
Well, I agree with the comments that this was Governor Quinn's best speech. And it struck me as being reminiscent of the kind of speeches that governors made 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, laying out what they've achieved and setting out a vision for where they wanted the state to go and proposing different programs. The one thing that I thought was missing was some explanation of how much this is going to cost and where the money is going to come from. And I would respectfully disagree with Senator Dillard, because I don't think the will is there to cut $4 billion or $6 billion or $7 billion. And I think the proof is every time some cut is proposed, for example, there was talk of closing some mental health facilities, local lawmakers of both parties react and say, oh, no, you can't close it. It's essential to my community. The difficulty is the people of the state of Illinois for years have been sold the bill of goods that you can have all this stuff and you don't really have to pay for it. Now the bill is coming due, and we have to choose between telling people, well, you really can have all this stuff, so we really do have to cut back in important areas, because most of the money goes for things like education that Governor Quinn talked about, or human services, or public safety. Medicaid is a big problem. In my judgment, the only way you can save money is by doing what Governor Edgar did early in his term. And Senator Dillard, you were there for this, and you saw what needed to be done and what was done, where you tell people, okay, we're no longer going to pay for this particular medical procedure. And you also say, okay, you're a group of folks who've been eligible, and we're going to have to drop you because we just can't afford to provide you this health care. And none of those are easy choices, but it's the only way to do it.
They're tough, Sean, and I was Governor Edgar's chief of staff, and Governor Edgar, for example, eliminated something called general assistance, which was welfare for single able-bodied adults. He said if they didn't have children and they were able-bodied, they should be working. So we're going to have to eliminate programs. And, you know, if you cut back, and we now have a Medicaid recapture audit, of which I and Representative Patty Bellick were the sponsor, I think you can get more than $1 billion of savings in Medicaid fraud. We need to go to managed care, which the Quinn administration has started. They're not good managers, so we'll see how the program goes, but managed care of Medicaid. Also, we need to have a Medicaid program that's not a Cadillac program, but one more like the states around us, and we could save over $1 billion a year if we, as Charlie said, and it's painful to do, get rid of and crank down on enrollment in the Medicaid program. But Medicaid is a bigger piece of the state budget than education, and I think that's the wrong priority. I'll always take care of medically needy people. Education should be our largest expenditure, and Medicaid has dwarfed it.
Well, let me bring up some of the other ideas that the governor had talked about today, including these tax credits. One, a child tax credit for families. Gave a little bit of detail on that. Not much detail on a tax credit for hiring veterans. He also wants to get rid of the natural gas utility tax. So I assume, are these ideas that the Republican caucus could be open to?
Probably. But, you know, every time, the best way to give tax relief to these families that Governor Quinn wants to give tax relief to was not to have increased their income tax by 67%. I agree with the governor's priorities on funding college scholarships, but show me the corresponding cut. Where are you going to cut to get these monies for the new program? And I think you start with Medicaid, and you start to, you can't be all things to all people, and the state of Illinois needs to go back to the basics of what we're supposed to do, educate people and provide care to the indigent, the developmentally disabled, and provide, you know, law enforcement and really get out of we can't be all things to all people business.
Senator, I appreciate you taking a few minutes to talk with us, and we'll let you get on your way.
Thanks, Sean, and thanks, Charlie. Charlie, it's always a pleasure. Thanks.
Same here, Senator. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That's Senator Kirk Dillard of Hinsdale calling in, sort of giving us the Republican response. Chris Mooney, let me bring you back in. In your thoughts on anything you've heard now from the senator in regards to the governor's speech today, the governor giving a lot of ideas out there, not a lot of detail. It seems as though there were a lot of feel-good things in here, but we, you know, the devil's in the details.
Right, and that's, you know, that's typically what you know, sort of the book on State of the State or State of the Union speeches is, you know, give a lot of accomplishments, and it's a rah-rah sort of thing. It's not an election year for Governor Quinn, but governors are always, if not running for re-election, they're interested in enhancing their popularity because the more popular they are, the more effective they can be in the legislative process. He's got the whole taking the budget speech and the State of the State speech and separating like we do in Illinois typically really sort of hamstrings the substance of these things oftentimes. And I think we see that today as like, here's some good programs. But, you know, I'll tell you in a couple of weeks how I'm going to pay for them, right? So we don't know. I mean, the child tax credit, for example, tiny little thing, right? Sounds like $50 a kid. Not that people would turn it down, but it's not, as Senator Dillard said, it's nothing compared to the increase in the tax. In fact, from my perspective, one of the biggest problems that we have in the state, and sort of one of the reasons we have all these sort of jumping through various hoops trying to get around this, is the constitutional requirement that all income be taxed at a flat rate, or at least personal income. And, this is as opposed to the federal system and most states where you have progressive income tax, so the people who make the least pay the smallest percentage and the people that make the most pay the highest percentage. You know, it's not universally agreed that this is proper, but it's a tax principle that is widely held to be, a proper one in this country. But, we have this constitutional provision, so we can't get around that, and that might be one way they could simplify some of this process, that is by changing the Constitution in this regard in the long run.
And Charlie, go ahead.
I was going to say that there is actually the reason that that flat rate was put in there was because in 1969, when the income tax was instituted, there was great concern about whether the then Constitution would even allow an income tax. There had been an effort made to do exactly that, enact an income tax probably 40 or 50 years earlier, and the Supreme Court had said, no, the Constitution does not allow what you had suggested. And the agreement was worked out. Basically, Governor Ogilvie, a Republican, Mayor Richard Daley of Chicago, a Democrat, and they agreed that it would be flat rate and it would be a separate rate for individuals than for corporations. Originally, Ogilvie thought the Constitution required that the rate be the same across the board, but they agreed to go with that. Ultimately, it was upheld by the court. And rather than raise that whole issue again, the delegates of the Constitutional Convention basically wrote into the revenue article the parameters that existed in the income tax as it was then. And that's why there's that 8-to-5 ratio in terms of the corporate rate exceeding the personal rate.
Let me, real quick here, Charlie, let me bring in the idea, too, that was not brought up today. The governor touched on it very briefly, so he'll have more details later. But we have been hearing over the last couple of weeks from not only from Senator Cullerton, a Democratic leader in the Senate, but also from House Speaker Mike Madigan and the governor, that they may be open to some type of switch when it comes to forcing local school districts to pick up more of the cost of teacher pensions and administrator pensions. Your thoughts as far as the governor not bringing that up today, but that really is one of the, the elephant in the room, so to speak, right now. That's going to have a big impact if they decide to go that route.
Well, it strikes me, with all due respect to these folks who are talking about it, that this is really a crummy thing to do to local school districts. Illinois funds its local school districts with state dollars pretty well near the bottom of the heap of all the states in the union. And then to turn around and say, we're going to shove off a couple billion dollars of pension costs on you, lots of luck. I think that's just a rotten thing to do to local governments. Where are the local school districts going to get the money? They'll have to raise property taxes. So I think it's a dereliction of duty on the part of the legislature. Now, you could argue academically that, the teachers in the Springfield schools aren't state employees. But this is an arrangement that's been in place for as long as I've been watching this stuff. And to suddenly decide we're going to change it without providing some means for the local school districts to come up with this money is, as I say, you're just shirking your responsibility and passing the buck to somebody else.
Chris, the governor today did talk a lot about businesses, naming several businesses, Chrysler, Ford, Caterpillar among them. Also talked about some internet startups, things like that, that he wants to see more investment. And it seemed as though this was a response to those who have been out there, playing down Illinois' ability to not only attract business, but to keep business, and whether or not the other states are more attractive to businesses. He tried to answer that today. Was he successful?
Well, I mean, he had a lot to say, I'm not sure, a lot of times what you hear, people touting things in Illinois, they'll say, we are the 10th biggest state on this or the sixth biggest state on that. And you have to look behind the numbers a little bit to see what they're talking about. If you're talking about sort of percentages, sometimes that means something. But if you're just talking about raw numbers, or the 10th best state for business or the 5th state best for business or whatever he said it was, I can't recall. But, maybe that just means what I'm saying is a lot of times it just comes down to the fact that we're the 5th biggest state in the country. So, if you're just talking raw numbers, we're always, we should be a number 5 in terms of job creation or whatever you want to talk about.
But there's no doubt that Illinois' budget situation probably does hamper businesses in some way. There's questions, there have been questions in the past about the ability of the state to help businesses. But we've, of course, seen just in recent months some legislation passed that helped a few larger businesses, Sears and the CME Group, for example, to remain in Illinois. All of these states, we've talked about this before quite a bit, that all of these states are really, at each other's throats trying to get whatever jobs they can get, whatever businesses to locate in their states that they can get. And I assume that the governor knows he's in that type of fight.
That's true. He made some explicit comments about that, or sort of referring to states around us that their unemployment insurance system wasn't as efficient or whatever. And I think a little bit of that has died down. There was a lot of rhetoric, especially right after the 2010 election a year ago, when you had sort of firebrands in the governor's mansions in Wisconsin and Ohio, and then a longer serving governor in Indiana, taunting the state over its increase in tax last year. It was an embarrassment, I think, for Quinn. It was just sort of red meat tossed out there for these rabid young real conservative governors.
Yeah, and it occurs to me that the corporate income tax is not the determining factor for most companies in deciding whether or not they're going to expand in Illinois. Part of the reason is that for a variety of different reasons, most corporations in Illinois don't pay any state income tax. I think if I'm a CEO, I'm going to be more concerned about things like, is there a skilled workforce to help me produce what I want to make? Is the brain power there to help me in research and development? Do I have access to markets? Do I have access to supplies? What's the transportation network like? What's the infrastructure? Is it reliable energy? Tax rates probably are not in the top. And if you're a manufacturing concern, you're probably also worried about things like workers' compensation. There have been significant reforms, but I would guess if you talk to the business community, they would say it hasn't gone far enough, particularly on the question of relating the injury more directly to the workplace.
Guys, we just have another minute or so left here, but let me ask you this to wrap up. I mean, this was, I guess, what you would truly call a state of the state speech. He touted accomplishments. He talked in some broad, he laid out a few ideas here, but most of them were rather broad and not a lot of detail with them. So what do you hope to hear February 22nd, 3 weeks from today, when he delivers his budget address?
Well, he's got to talk about the two big problems that the state has in terms of the size of them are Medicaid increases projected out and the state employee pension system. Both of them are sort of out of control, and they're both going to be very difficult to cut. And I don't know what he's going to do about them, but I guess we'll see.
I would say I'd be looking to see what the numbers are in Medicaid. I personally think the pension problem is a huge problem, but it's not an imminent problem. Our unfunded liabilities are $85 billion, but the day will never come when we have to come up with $85 billion to pay retirees. That single day will never occur. This is a program that extends on into infinity. Medicaid, on the other hand, is a real problem. And it'll be interesting to see how he intends to rein in those costs, what cuts will be made or will be proposed, and then also to see how he's going to pay for these new initiatives that he's discussed. They may not be a whole lot of dollars, but in our tight budget situation, any increase is going to have to be defended, and it's going to have to be funded from somewhere else.
A lot of work ahead. I want to thank both of you for joining us. That's Chris Mooney. And he is a political studies professor at the University of Illinois Springfield, and Shirley Wheeler, director of the Public Affairs Reporting Program at UIS. Also want to thank Senator Kirk Dillard, a Republican from Hinsdale, who joined us by phone earlier. I'm Sean Crawford. You've been listening to live coverage of Governor Pat Quinn's State of the State Address from the Illinois Capitol in Springfield. This is IPR, Illinois Public Radio.